Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I am currently sitting in a sauna on a tiny little island in Maine.
Do you know what Maine is famous for?
You? Oh, that's Rhode Island.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I was hoping you knew. But
oh, you were asking.
Yeah. Hey, Maine.
Lobster.
There we go. Lobster. And this is Shut Up, Nick Lachey.
Welcome back, everybody.
We're back. We're here. I am Ellen Marsh, and with me, apparently in Maine, is Daisy Egan. And this is Shut Up, Nick Lachey, your favorite? Question mark? I don't know. There's so many Love is Blind recaps, but we're sitting here commenting, judging, recapping the hilarity, the nonsense, the absolute buffoonery. The Netflix TV show Love is Blind.
Yes, and we are the most qualified, I think, of all of the recappers. So, you know, if you really want like the proper in-depth psychological scientific recap, we are the ones. We are the ones to come to. So you did it right.
I'm not sure because I haven't taken a survey, but I will. But I think that's why they're here.
Yeah.
For the science.
The science, yeah.
I just want to say that, listen, everyone, buckle in, because the more in-depth we get in this show, the first show is really just sort of like dipping your toes in. Episode 2, we go into the deep end when we go diving. You remember when you were little and you went diving through those like rings? Like your mom would sit there and just throw rings into a pool.
Yes.
And then you had to like dive down and get the rings. Did you ever do that when you were little?
Mm-hmm.
That's what episode 2 is like. Also, growing up in the 90s
was wild.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say something before we jump in, because when I was editing episode 1, I looked harder for this one clip. I looked harder for that clip than I looked for my orgasm in my 20s.
Yeah.
But I found it after we posted the episode, and here it is.
Really good at cunnilingus. I know it's my God-given talent. Everybody gets one God-given talent.
I feel like you all needed that clip from episode 1, and I didn't provide, so this is the first of several apologies I will make. I'm sorry, I will do better.
Right, but that also helps with your credibility, because now they know that you weren't just making that up. It is an actual thing that happened.
And I stand by what I said. No, you don't.
No, you don't. No, you're not. Mm-mm. No. All right. Should we jump in?
Yeah.
Let's jump into episode 2. So also we learned that Izzy's real name is Ismael.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah. He does say it very fast, and it sounds like he doesn't really want people to know that.
Right.
So, you know, Izzy it is.
In episode 2, we start in the men's quarters, or like the men's flat or whatever you want to call them. And this is like the moment in the show where there are the guys we haven't seen before.
Yeah, they're all doing a circle jerk.
Yeah, but it's like, this is the time when they go home and they're like, hey, you guys, I was on Love is Blind. If you go to 1 minute and 13 seconds of episode 2, I'm there in the salmon-colored chinos.
Right, I'm the one playing cornhole.
Yeah. Like, we see Carter, who's apparently a fisherman.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say apparently. Like, I'm sure he is a fisherman. It's just like, I mean, I don't know if I've ever met a fisherman in person, but I don't know if he's like a fisherman by trade or if he's like, hey, just like, right, fisherman. But Carter was there.
Yeah, Carter was there. He was featured briefly in episode 1.
Yeah.
When he told Stacy that a picture of a fish on her Instagram would be guaranteed 100 followers, and she didn't get it. She did not get that he was making a jokies. It wasn't funny.
It wasn't funny. Jokes are meant to be funny.
Yeah.
And Josh, who's a sales rep. Hi, Josh. I'm sure you're very nice, but we haven't seen you on this show. I doubt you're going to be on the show at this point. But like, say hi to all your friends in Spokane, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And then there's a fascinating conversation about, would you rather be killed by a shark or a alligator?
Mm.
You know, and then sort of a debate about what an alligator is. So that's what's happening over in the men's quarters.
And then in the women's quarters. We see all these women that we haven't seen and we're not going to see. Hi, you're beautiful. You all have great blowouts. Mm-hmm. But so I want it to be known that in some past seasons, some former contestants have come forward and said that their living conditions weren't great. Like they weren't fed. They were given too much booze. They worked at crazy hours. So I love that in this episode, whenever they are given the opportunity, they just pan to like bagels.
Uh-huh. Yep.
They're like, look, we're not exploitive. Like, I'm sure that Netflix was just covering their legal asses and been like, but did you see the bagels? They had bagels.
Yeah, but bagels, that's all you need.
Yeah, it was just so funny. They're like, can you grab a can of Pringles? Just a flatbread or maybe some mozzarella sticks. Just walk around with it just so we don't get sued.
There does seem to be more food shots,
right?
In this season, for sure. Yes.
It's for sure strategic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's also Renee, who was a veterinarian, which thank you for your service. And Chandra, mm-hmm. who's probably not going to be on the show. Yes. She's a flight attendant.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they have lovely connections. Yeah. Do you think like they were on the show, didn't have a connection? And do you think they weed them out or do they go through the whole pod thing? Like, what do you think?
I am not sure. I think that I would imagine they send them. No, you know what? They probably keep them just in case there's drama. Right. And like, what happens if not enough people get engaged?
Do they go back? I don't know.
You know,
all these women pop up and you were like, who are you?
Yes, there were a lot. It was a lot. I personally would love to see the Love is Blind rejects.
Totally.
Episodes.
I would love to
just
see the
to
cut.
See what it is that we're actually missing.
That would be a whole separate. I would go behind a paywall for that, actually.
I would too. I would stop using my parents' Netflix password.
I wouldn't.
For that one. So we open up after the getting to know yous in the quarters. Milton and Lydia have a little beach themed date.
I think it's so cute because they're kind of like going deeper on their dates, right?
Yeah.
I guess this year they're doing like a little setup of a date. Like they sent some PA to the Five Below with $125 and they're like, go nuts. Make these rooms all themes, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And so we get a little bit into Milton's quote unquote sad childhood, but he really doesn't tell us too much. He was born in Hawaii, grew up partly in Japan. He had terrible grades and then he came to the U.S. and his grades improved, which is not a function of his brain. It's really a function of our school system.
Right. I actually now kind of love Milton a little bit. Like, I don't want to date him and he's super awkward.
Yes.
But also, did we talk last episode that Izzy cut things off with Lydia?
To be honest, now I can't remember if he did it at the end of episode one or the beginning of episode two.
Well, Izzy cut things off with Lydia.
Yeah, Izzy cuts things off with Lydia and she is blindsided.
Mm-hmm.
Blindsided. She did not see it coming.
Yeah, and she's brokenhearted, which that's fair.
Right.
She says to the camera that he didn't give me a reason. And I was like, no, actually, honey, he did give you a reason. He said he had a deeper connection with someone else. And that is a reason. I get that. It sucks.
Yeah.
But when you come on a show like this, you run the risk of not getting what you want. And that's life. It sucks. We've all been there.
Right.
And then she deals with that by sort of trauma dumping on Milton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She says, can I be real with you? And then she just spews.
Can I talk to you?
What was that?
Can I talk to you for real?
Yeah, for sure. What's wrong?
I crave so hard to be loved for who I am.
Yeah, of course.
And I wanna be seen for who I am and valued and loved for who I really care. Mm-hmm. And I'm so passionate and I'm so genuine and I'm so loving, but yet, like... I crave so bad to be loved.
You know, and I think he's like, yeah, of course you can be real with me. And he's expecting her to say, like, sometimes I don't like looking at rocks. But that's not the level of real she wants to go. He is so sweet and he is so awkward and he's really young.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that Lydia, as much as like I love her woman power, you know, sisterhood, I think she has a tendency to hear what she wants to hear.
It's giving emotional damage. For sure.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, Milton is being very supportive and kind. Now, remember, Milton is 24.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm going to say. You're way too young to be on this show.
Way too young.
That's a given. I'm not going to keep repeating myself, but I probably will. Milton is the kind of man that women say that they want.
Yes.
He's super green flaggy, no drama, fucking loves rocks. This man has never met a rock that he didn't love more. A little boring.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't he sort of everything that women are like, I just want someone nice and kind and supportive and listen to me. It's like, mm-hmm. No, you don't.
No, no. Because also, you know, I have a feeling that he's the kind of guy who you just have to explain every single thing to him. Plus, he probably doesn't know how to clean up after himself yet. Like, he's a child.
He's an actual, literal child.
Yeah.
And Milton tells Lydia that she is his strongest connection and says that she's vulnerable and she's gonna be a good mother.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, my red flag says, are you looking for a mother?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and her reaction to that, too, I mean, it's pretty quick. I rewound it a couple times. She just goes, oh, I did not know how to read what her reaction was, but that was a statement and a half right there.
How are you on age differences?
Kurt is 12 years older than me. Generally, I think they're fine, but your prefrontal cortex needs to be finished developing.
Totally.
And it is not at 24.
I don't think it's the age difference. I think it's the actual number that you're at. You know, because they're 6 years difference,
yeah.
24
yeah.
to 30. But I don't think like 40 to 46 is a big deal. I think it's very much of the moment where you're at.
Right, exactly.
He's sweet. He's just 24. Mm-hmm. I just want to be like, baby, like go be on Wheel of Fortune if you want to do a fun little game. Don't be on this kind of game.
Yeah. Go on MasterChef Junior. My friend Jordan said that contestants 19 to 25 should just be on Love is Blind Junior.
Yeah. I love that.
Which I would absolutely watch.
I feel like Milton has endeared himself to Lydia a little bit, but I don't know if it's just because she's in a place and she needs some warm fuzzies and support and he's providing that. And she admits that she was like really hung up on Izzy and she was hung up on his age. I was like, but I feel like this is actually just like two besties hanging out and like you're talking to your gay best friend. And he's like, no, you can confide in me.
Yeah.
And then at the end, Lydia falls out of her $3.99 beach chair that they got at the Five Below, and the clever editors play a song like from one of those free song catalog website that says, I'm fallen for you. Look at you. Look at you.
That was so cute. They have fun. Next, as far as I know, as far as my notes tell me, we go into Taylor and JP's little date. Theirs isn't themed. They just have their couches. But what we see sort of right away is on JP's couch, there's like this American flag. At first, I thought it was a pillow. And I was like, that's weird. That's out of place. Like, I haven't seen that before. But it turns out that's his Banky.
Well, Taylor is ready to get deep. And she hits JP with her questions. And she asks about his childhood, and that hits him in a place.
So growing up, my mom was like a really angry person. Like, I love her now, and I don't really like talk bad about people. She wasn't as bad towards me, but she would take out her anger on my sisters. And just like go into their rooms, wake them up and yell and like trash everything. And then but when she would leave, I would go in there and just try to comfort him.
His response was very interesting to me because, look, we all have different thresholds and we all have different trauma. And this show is also making me rethink how I have gone into relationships where I'm like,
right.
Let me open up all the trash bags and you can pick through them. And so for me, like his brand of trauma, I'm like, that's a Tuesday afternoon. He was clearly really formed by that. And I don't think he's talked about it much. He barely gets it out.
I really appreciate him being so open and honest. Again, we don't see shit like that in the real world for a long, long time.
Yes.
And he says, I hate crying. And I was like, oh my God, I love crying. That's so weird. But I think that experience with his mom, that has to affect how he treats women in the future in some way. I don't know him well enough to weigh in.
Yeah.
And she's very sweet and tells him it's okay.
Yeah, let it out.
And then he takes his binky and he wipes his tears with the American flag. And now I didn't see the American flag until he did that.
Mm.
And I was like, where did you get that, my guy? Like, did you pack it? And then he says, I feel really comfortable with you. And I was like, yeah, comfortable enough to wipe your tears and your snot boogies with the goddamn American flag.
Yeah. Which I am pretty sure technically is treason.
Yeah, or something.
I think it's actually like a law that you're not supposed. I mean, I think it's technically a law that you're not supposed to wear anything with the American mm-hmm. flag on it. Like, and so for you to wipe your trauma books on the American flag, I'm pretty sure like back in the day that would have been a hangable offense.
I'd imagine him at his apartment being like, I got my boots, I got my toothbrush, oh, can't forget my American flag hanky. And he was like, thank goodness I brought this, because one day I'm gonna cry.
Thank God I brought my banky,
and I'm gonna need this hanky to snot in.
Girl, you just made me cry into my banky, to my American flag banky. Now this is real. I knew it was real with your mama when she made me cry into my American flag banky.
And then they say, I love you.
This is interesting because he says, what's the biggest regret you never told someone?
Mm-hmm.
And her response is that I love you. And I was like, wait a minute. Was he just like, did she mean that I loved them? Like, I regret not having told somebody that I loved them, and she misspoke? Or was it weird editing? Or did she use that moment to like let it out? And then he says, I love you too. And in my head, I'm like, oh, fuck. Did she just like.
Oh, right.
misspeak her way into an engagement?
She's like, no, I meant, oh fuck, okay, yeah, oh, no, shit. I see how your brain went there. That's on me.
I did say you.
Yeah.
I meant them.
She's like, well, I gotta ride this fucking log flume until the end.
I said it. I gotta hold on.
JP seems really precious. I mean, love is a construct.
Yes.
But you know, great, good for you, JP, and your American flag. He actually seems pretty beige flaggy to me. I'm
sure.
Ha ha, flag.
Yeah. You know, I will say, I like, he's the kind of man who, if I saw him in an alley or at a bar, like, I would go the other way. He gives me like frat boy vibes that freak me out a little bit.
Really?
Like, once I heard him talk, I was like, okay, it's not.
Is it the American flag? Is it like January 6th vibe?
I think that's part of it.
I find him very docile.
Yeah, I just think, like, literally, like, looks wise. I think if I saw him, I'd be like, that's a guy who puts a roofie in your drink. But then once I talk to him,
okay,
you know, because that's how I judge everybody. I'm like, whatever I think of you absolutely immediately is going to be it forever.
What did you think of me absolutely immediately when we first met, even though I can't even think of the first time we met, but I'm still putting that pressure on you?
I was like, wow, you're a lot.
Oh, God.
No, I think, to be honest, though, I was intimidated by you for the longest time because, like, you're so smart. This is, I'm being honest right now. Like, you're so smart. You're so funny. You're so talented. And, like, you really come across as, like, you know what the fuck you want. You know who you are. And I just, like, there's always been, up until I really got to know you and I was like, oh, she's garbage. I have felt like. Like, you know, like, you are goals, hashtag goals, you know?
Aww. Because so. I am the same way. I'm pretty harsh on my first impression. My first impression is actually usually right. And a lot of times with men, I'll ignore that because you're over 6 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He can pick you up and spin you around his dick.
Yeah. Follow me for more dating advice.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
But we're back at the women's quarters. Lydia's being a down bitch as far as I'm concerned still. I feel like she's really supporting the other women. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's because she's so messed up it's easier for her to help others. Because Lydia should be in therapy. I can hear it in her voice. But she's kind of talking Aaliyah through this whole Uche fiasco, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And she sort of echoes what I said last episode, which is this is everything to do with him.
Right.
And I was like, thank you for saying that, because I really, really believe that. And we're going to get into the Uche Aaliyah next little talk, and my point will be proven yet again.
Yeah, 100%. When she said that, I was like, ding, ding. Ellen Marie Marsh, for sure. She's very adamant. And I think in some ways that's like her Puerto Rican culture. She's very like, she identifies really hard with that. But yeah, it's like, there's a feeling of like, you should be journaling right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Of course, you can never know if it's editing or not. Because remember, we're watching this episode by episode. We're in time reporting on this, so we have no idea what happens. And I love it that way. I don't know if they're editing it to be that Lydia and Aaliyah are like besties and she's really leaning on her, or Lydia is like that with all the women and that's just the storyline they've taken. I guess we'll see.
We will find out.
But if there was a camera in my house while the Uche and the Aaliyah conversation, you would have seen a little Italian woman with my arms crossed, one of my eyebrows LOL, as if my eyebrows have moved in like 10 years.
What was it that he said? Oh, you know, she's like, you said, I don't know if I can trust you, all these things. And he goes, did I say any of those things? And she goes, yes.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to be like, someone roll fucking tape. And Aaliyah was like, she said everything right. She was like, I don't want to be in a relationship where I'm going to be judged by my partner. And she says, you made me feel not worthy. And then, you know, those PAs that went to Five Below for the decorations, Uche had them go and scrounge up all the rest of the audacity that was left. I was like, this man gives me narc vibes. Now, last episode, I wasn't sure. Everyone has a past. Everyone makes mistakes.
Sure.
And he says, it just surprised me. Totally fair.
Surprise is not the thing that came out of your mouth.
Exactly. Like, an adult would have said, hey, I'm a little taken aback by this information. Can I have a minute to process this? Not verbally berate her for her past mistake when she was vulnerable and shared it with you, and then make her feel like shit and let her cry her eyes out, because that's not being surprised. That's emotional manipulation.
That is absolutely emotional manipulation. And then she continues a little bit about how it made her feel. And his response is, well, do you think if we got married, we would never have another disagreement ever again? Dude, that's not the fucking point. Okay, so you're saying that because we're going to argue and disagree over the course of our lives, I can't tell you that you hurt me? Like, what is that statement?
Listen, I have subscribed to this newsletter before. What he does, now, I'm sure you flagged this, but I want everyone to watch this from here on out. Because emotional manipulators will play mind games in order to seize the power.
Yeah.
Either in the moment or in the relationship, right? His ultimate goal was to have power. So he was exploiting her mistakes to set him up to be in a more powerful position, right? I was like, dude, you need to give me some, you need to give me some harder ones, because this is so.
Yeah, this is basic.
This is basic. His emotional manipulation lacks subtlety. It's like a Bugs Bunny anvil on top of this woman's fucking head.
He is the coyote putting the painting of the tunnel on the side of the mountain.
Yeah. He's basically like, hey, tell me something good that I can preferably use at a later date to hold over your head. I was like, eh. She says, how can I feel comfortable telling you something else knowing you won't judge me? And she's well within her right. Then tell me if you notice this. Well, first of all, he apologizes, and it's less of an apology and more of like an accusation.
I apologize to you. I am sorry about it.
Like, there's definitely a but in his voice. And then he says, I have a hard time with trust. I was like, you're not a unicorn. We all have trust issues. I have trust issues because people have lying issues. Okay. We all have that. But then, did you hear this? This is what struck me the most. Or he asks if she forgives him.
Yeah.
And she takes a moment, fair, and says that she does. And then he didn't say thank you. He said, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Did that strike you?
It did. It did. I didn't write it down, but yes, absolutely. I was just like, ugh.
Because to me, that was a win.
Yeah.
It was a win. So I'm glad I won this. I won your affections back. No humility.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Do you forgive me? Yes, thank you. I'm sorry right. that I reacted that way.
Thank you. I'm really going to work on not ever doing that again.
I'm glad. Because a narcissist, and now I do feel comfortable calling him that. I didn't last week. They invalidate you.
Yeah.
Their tactics are always self-serving. This woman, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I love Aaliyah, but I am saying she is going to end up absolutely emotionally depleted.
I hope she runs away. I hope she runs away. When I think it was Lydia who was like, or no, it was Aaliyah herself who was like, he's going to have to meet me halfway. I was like, he's going to have to go about 90-95% at this point.
And then he says at the end, are you still my girlfriend? Not, I'm glad we worked that out. Are we going to move past this? It's the right. ownership.
Yeah, are you still mine?
Are you still mine? It's 101. This guy is throwing softballs.
He reminds me so much of my ex-girlfriend. It's scary. Like, it's, I hate to use this word, but it is triggering. Mm-hmm. I'm watching it and I'm like, I'm watching a playback of that relationship and I'm watching myself get pulled in by her, you know, through this guy. And it's gross and it's so obvious.
But now, having come out of that, because I was in a couple of really emotionally abusive relationships, as I've talked about
yeah.
for hours at end, do you flag that now, not only in your life, but is it so blatant to you that you see that? Did you see it at the time?
I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. I largely blamed myself.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, that's healthy. I'm glad. I was going to say, I hope you blame yourself.
I wouldn't have been able to put my finger on it at all. And it wasn't until I saw like a meme or something that said, someone who loves you uses your past to learn how to love you better, not as a weapon. And I was like, oh, that's what that was.
Totally.
I think now if anybody were to talk to me that way, I would run.
It's so clear as day to me. Just the tactics and the playbook. Mm-hmm. The playbook is usually the same. It's like they all subscribe to the same website and they're like, yes, you know, please forward the information. It's very, very weird. In all these passing things, we see all these people that we're never going to get to know, like Renee, who's a veterinarian, we see for 14 seconds. She looks lovely.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
And now we're with Stacy and Izzy, who says, I have so much fun with Izzy.
Stacy is not giving me good vibes. And Izzy says to her, you know, I've been getting deeper with some of my other connections, but with you, it's easy and it's fun and it seems stress-free. And then she gives this like gobbledygook response. Mm. He literally says, you're not being vulnerable in the way that these other women are. However, I'm finding it really easy. And she's like, yeah, but isn't easy like preferable to like hard or something like that? And she ends this gobbledygook nonsense monologue with, I could give two fucks if someone in there wants you the same way I do. I'm like, what are you saying? What are you saying?
I was thinking, I don't specifically think this with her, but have you ever had a situation where banter is important, comedy is important, uh-huh. but have you ever gotten into a situation where you're like, can we put the banter away now?
Yes.
I'm not saying that Stacy isn't capable of that. We haven't seen it, but I have gotten into a situation where it's like,
yeah,
now I need you to like, you're funny. We have a vibe. Now let's actually talk.
Yes, 100%. And I think people like that are usually masking something pretty awful.
Totally. Stacy was also giving me I'm a guy's girl energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Always beware of a woman who doesn't have women friends.
100%.
She was giving me those like, oh yeah, I am like cool with the guys. Like the kids would say she's a pick me.
Yeah, that's what that means. Okay, good. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, for somebody to say like, hey, like you're not as vulnerable with me, and for her to like attack all the other women in the game is just like, that's not.
Well, because I see women like that, and it's number one, my first emotion person is disappointed. But women who pride themselves on being like a guy's friend, and I'm not saying don't have guy friends. I have wonderful guy friends. I can't think of any of their names off the top of my head. But what I see is that like a twisted kind of like entitlement. You know, I have a better understanding of men, whereas the truth of the matter is women are way more challenging than men, right?
Yes.
Men are simple. They're basic. Women are complicated. This is science. I did not write the science book. Do not DM me. But chances are, if you're that kind of woman, you're trying to get away with some bullshit that a woman would not let you get away with.
100%. 100%. I think that if the tables were turned and it was a guy who just was like yuckety yuckety the whole time, a woman would be like, that's way too red flaggy for me. And also, I think the fact of the matter is that it speaks to how much she does not like other women. I think it has to do with like a deep-seated misogyny and a self-hatred.
Totally. I totally agree, because it's an insecurity thing. And I'm not saying that women can't like, quote, manly things. Like, you can like sports and gaming.
Of course.
But you can still hang out with other women. All of my deepest connections are with women. And I'm not saying, you know, women rule and men's. No, that is what I'm saying.
That is correct.
It's not going to serve her in the long run. It's really not.
No, it isn't. She will find at some point that she is on an island by herself, and she'll wonder how she got there. And we'll all be like, well, this is why.
And it's interesting that he said he was thinking of her naked on the second day, which is fair. Uh-huh. But here's my question.
Sure.
What are you thinking of?
You know, I have learned about myself that I cannot picture people. You know, I listen to the radio and podcasts and stuff, and then I'll see the picture of the person I've been listening to for a year and a half, and I'm like, wow,
yes,
that looks nothing like what I thought. I wouldn't be able to tell you what I thought, but it's not that.
Yes, I totally agree. That's why I'm like, are you thinking of like a famous person or someone you know from home?
Right. It's like I've been thinking about you naked. Titties and pussy.
Then we see Maris. She's just in the quarters. I don't know. I feel like she's just there to ask questions, and she has no through line. I think she's a plant. You know, she's like she's just like there, and she's like, yeah, but what did he say? And then she just like runs away. I'm not well.
And also have a bagel.
She just walks across the camera. Yum, yum. These bagels are delicious. Thanks, Netflix.
I'm full.
Okay.
Johnny and Chris have a spa date. You know, they're both in a spa. And he's sort of talking to her about, like, I'd like you to meet my family. We have a lot of fun together, me and my family. And, like, everything he says, she goes, aw, that's so sweet.
I was like, babe.
Aw, that's so sweet.
She's not into you. The aws, nope.
Yeah.
Those aws are not hot and they're not sexy. Mm-mm. Those are best friend aws.
Those are like, that's when my son tells me about things. I'm like, oh, how cute. Like, not, that was bad. I have no idea. It doesn't seem like he picked up on it at all.
He does say that him and his family play my favorite party game.
Yeah, I like how he said celebrity as though nobody knew what it was.
Yeah.
We play this game. It's called celebrity. Yeah. Like,
we
yes.
play this game. It's called Rummy. Rummy. No one wants to play games with my family. We are Italian and loud and competitive. It's prison rules. Like, if you come to my house and play celebrity, we're like, Mom, what the fuck? It's Beyonce.
I love that. I am like that, and my family is not. I am competitive. Don't fucking cheat. Like, I will be on you. And my family is... They're not into
it.
I love
that game. So I was like, Chris gets points in my book just because his family plays celebrity.
That's a low bar.
So then Chris drops a bomb.
I'll tell you this. Like, I have not stopped smiling since I got in here, and got me feeling some type of way.
Aw, that's sweet.
I'm in love with you.
And he sees himself marrying her.
Yes.
I actually like Chris. Mm-hmm. I didn't like him in the first episode because he said that people think I'm hot or whatever. I was like, listen, he's basic but very dear. He's super beige flaggy to me. He's the guy who fosters the dogs. I actually really like him.
I know, I do too. I think there is like this sort of sweetness about him.
I originally thought he was Cole in a different font, but he's really not. He actually is very lovely. But we're going to learn that Johnny likes Izzy.
Johnny really likes Izzy, and Johnny's feeling pretty confident about that relationship, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely would say.
This is when we learn that Izzy grew up Jehovah's Witness, and it sounds like Johnny had never heard of that before in her life. She was like, what do you mean you couldn't celebrate holidays?
Yeah.
And it was relatively recently that he got out of that. Like it was, he said 2018, he got his first Christmas tree. So that was not that long ago. And then he tells us another big family secret.
Yeah, he said he was invited to his friend's house for like Easter, and they did an Easter egg hunt, and he's like, what's that? What do? You put these eggs in a basket and they've got mini M&Ms. This is wild. And his dad or something saw him.
He was furious.
And was like, yanked him out of the poor Easter egg hunt.
And, you know, screamed at him. And Izzy was appropriately devastated by that. And he went to a cousin's house and told his cousin about it. And his cousin apparently says, but you know that's not your real dad.
I was like, cuz, were you the one? Was this the time? He's like, oh man, listen, your dad can be a dick, but like, you know that's not your real dad, right?
Like, not the time, my friend. Not the time.
That's some serious news. It's not that it doesn't happen. It does happen.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, holy smokes. Like, was that how the, like, family landscape was laid out? They were like, cousin Jedediah is the one who's going to tell him about his dad not being his real dad.
And then there didn't seem to be, like, his response was basically just like, I got out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he did say that he was in therapy in the first episode. And I like him. I think, you know, he's seems to be relatively together.
I don't know. I have something to bring up a little bit later. I don't know if Izzy, I don't know. Johnny says that her connection with Chris feels more like a friendship. I was like, Daisy and I knew that 20 minutes ago, obviously.
Yeah.
With the Oz. But also, she gave the Oz, but she also said she saw a future with him.
With Chris. Yeah. 2 minutes before this scene, she's saying, I do see a future with you. I could see marrying you. And then in the date with Izzy, she says, Chris is the safe choice. And I always go with safe.
That's not nice.
Yeah, she says this to Izzy. I feel like Chris is the safe choice, and I always go with safe, and I feel like with you it's more exciting, she says.
That always ends well.
You know, and like maybe a little dangerous. I can't remember the word she uses, but she, yeah, but that's what she says to Izzy 5 seconds after saying, I mean, look, it's editing, but still.
I see Chris's heart getting broken in this moment. I'm just like, this isn't going to end well, and I actually really do like Chris.
He seems pretty confident that they're going to do it.
And by do it, we mean anal.
Yeah, the peen and the butt. So then we go to JP and Taylor.
And we do a silly goose little montage of their time in the pods. They're so silly.
Yeah, their long relationship together.
They come and he's in a suit and she's in a white dress. I was like, has production talked to you?
Okay, so I was going to ask you this question because I thought you would know. But how do they know? Because I've noticed that when it comes the time for the proposal date, the woman is almost always dressed up. So they have to know.
If I was in the pods, I love dressing up. I love an outfit. I love a sequin. I love it all. I totally recognize you don't want to look like shit on national TV. Do your hair, do your makeup. But babes, just like put on some sweats and a cardigan. Look cute and comfy.
Well, and that's what they're normally wearing, I think, for most of the dates, is like they're a little more comfy.
So they must have gotten a heads up because he is in a suit and she is in a white slip dress.
I thought it was strange that he didn't have his American flag banky, like even as like a little pocket square or something for the proposal. But yeah, you know, he gave her a pretty standard, like it seemed like it came out of a book, you know, how you propose to somebody.
He was crying. He was emotional. I actually wrote, not an American flag in sight. That's all I wrote. He's sweet. I actually think that, I don't know. She accepts. One down.
Yeah, it just was very, it was very basic.
Yeah, it was basic. They are a little basic. And she says, I'll love you forever. And I was like, uh-huh, we'll see how that holds up when he leaves his wet tower on the floor to get mildewy and he smells like beef and cheese. But good luck to everyone, you know?
Right. We'll see how you feel when you have to clean the cum out of his American flag banky.
I can only cum in the banky!
I gotta spill my seed on the country. Okay. So we go back to Chris and Johnny.
Yeah.
Chris is in it. Chris is in it. He is excited.
He's certain.
He is very certain. He is excited. She did just say to him, as far as we know, in their last date, I can see myself marrying you. I can see a future with you. So why wouldn't he be at this point?
But at the beginning of their date, she's like this emoji. Ugh. She's really evasive. Mm-hmm. And she's like, pretty good. Then she breaks the news.
I do see it being like so easy with you. I like you a lot. I see how everything lines up with you. I do feel like emotionally I have a stronger connection to someone else. And I can't be torn between two people anymore.
I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that I really did enjoy all of our time together. And I think you really, truly are an amazing and wonderful person.
He's graceful.
He's very graceful. And now I'm getting slight sociopath vibes from Johnny.
I don't know if it was sociopath, but I'm getting a vibe. You know, I don't know what it is. I'm getting a, like, I always choose the wrong guy. I'm telling you I always choose the wrong guy. And then I'm also not going to learn from my actions and keep repeating that cycle.
Right. But also, like, he just said all this stuff to her. She breaks up with him. And then he's like, you don't have to stay in the room. And she's like, okay, bye.
Oh, you're right. You're right. She did do that.
She's like, okay, see you later. And there's not like a, I'm so sorry. Like, there doesn't seem to be any, like, anything.
You're right. She was like, it's going to be okay. And she's like putting her clogs on. She's like, no worries.
Yeah.
Like, you're so right. She was very lackluster in terms of the emotions. And then I felt bad for Chris because he said he felt unworthy. And I was like, you know, I recognize I'm in a very odd place in my life, and there's nothing wrong with wanting attention from a romantic relationship. But this is where the problem arises. It's when you rely completely on another person to feel confident about yourself and your life choices. We need to dismantle that way of thinking.
Yes.
And I don't hate love. I don't hate relationship. It's just, this is something that I hate about these shows when I step back from the silliness, is that, like, I am single for right now. I call it being self-partners. I date and I enjoy men. And, like, listen, if you need to hear this today and single best describes you, I think in the moment, single usually describes someone who doesn't need another person to complete them. That's not a thing for everyone. I'm just saying, like, I want him to know that he's, like, strong, and you are strong enough to enjoy life without depending on others.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes these people just want to get married. And you and I have had so many different color relationships, and we're old as dust.
Yeah.
And now I can safely say that's just not it. Like, and I'm saying this as someone who has made every mistake in the book.
Mm-hmm,
it takes strength to, like, not settle for less. And no one's going to tick every one of your boxes. That's unrealistic.
Nobody is going to do that. And that's not, it's not healthy to expect that from your partner, from your friend either. You have the friend that you call when you're broken up with, and you have the friend that you call when you just want to go to brunch and have a good time. People are not supposed to be everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that these shows are perpetuating is that people say, you need to put me first. I need to know that I'm going to be the most important thing in your life. No. You put you first.
Yep.
If you don't, look, I don't believe, like, if you don't love yourself, nobody can love you. But I do believe, like, you have to like yourself.
Right.
And just because one person doesn't want to marry you, and who knows how many breakups Chris has been through, but, like, that doesn't make you unworthy. It means that that person isn't for you right now.
I just just think the pressure to do the thing, the patriarchal thing, which is get married, have a baby, buy a house.
It's called an escalator relationship. You are going on a thing, you can't get off, and these are the steps that you're going to hit.
You know, it's funny because I never really started talking about my divorce in a very real way until I started podcasting, other than, you know, to mention to my friends. And I remember finally someone saying, I can't remember in what context, like, I knew I wasn't in love with my husband when I got married with him.
Same.
And someone said, well, why did you get married? And the only answer I can come up with was because I thought I should.
Oh my God, Ellen. Yeah, my first marriage, he was somebody who I realized in retrospect just wanted to be married. It wasn't like I found you and I want to be with you. It was I'm looking for somebody to get married to and you're here. And my joke is, when people say, why did you get married, even though you knew you didn't, why did you say yes? I say, because he asked.
Yeah.
What was I supposed to do? Say no?
Yeah.
Hurt his feelings?
Yeah. What quote is that? Oh, I think it's from Sex and the City. Because when a man kneels in front of you and asks you to marry him, you say yes. You know, it's, I want to say the thing, because I have to cover my bases, what I said about being single. Don't fill in the blank and make it seem like you're not worthy or that I think I'm cooler or stronger than you because I am single. That's not what I said. Everybody has a right to live their life exactly how they want. I mean, unless you're like, you know, racist or transphobic or a misogynist or any of the phobics.
You're allowed to live your life however you want to live it, as long as you're not hurting other people in the process.
Everybody's life is different, and getting married isn't the end all. That's all.
No.
I wanted to give Chris a big ol' hug.
Yes. Yeah, same.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
And then we go into Johnny and Izzy, right?
Yeah.
Izzy wants to be loved unconditionally.
And Johnny tells Izzy that he heard she broke up with Chris. And then she goes, was he upset? Fuck.
Oh, my God. What do you expect?
Honey, what did you think was going to happen?
She seems real upset that Chris was upset.
This is where Izzy starts to turn for me. I'm just wondering how you felt, because he says, obviously, he's scared. And then he says something that I've never heard before. Hold on. Let me make sure I read it correctly. He says, beep, bop, boop, bop, bop, bop. Oh, he says, I hate rejection.
Welcome to the world.
Could you imagine someone being like, you know what I love? Well, a spa day, number one. And then number two would be rejection.
Getting rejected. I love it. It feels so good. And then Johnny opens up about her past that she had alluded to, you know, that she didn't have the greatest relationships, join the club. And it turns out it's pretty sad.
My longest relationship was with someone who struggled with addiction. After we broke up over the drugs, fast forward 2 years later, I was married to someone else. A girl messaged me on Facebook. The only person I have ever loved in my life died of a drug overdose. I've never really had that feeling for anyone else. I think I consider him the only person I've ever been in love with.
And Izzy's reaction to this story, to me, is weird.
Okay, because it immediately struck me as weird. And then in the shower this morning, I had some follow-up thoughts. So tell me what you thought.
I don't know. Again, everybody has a different threshold for trauma. But to me, I was like, yeah, this is a thing that happens to people, you know? Like, his response is like, oh, man. Oh, man. And I'm like, what are you omanning?
I originally wrote down, I wrote, Izzy doesn't handle this well, ? I wrote, he's removed and he's quiet. But he does say, you know, she's like, Izzy, talk. Why aren't you talking?
Uh-huh.
And then he just said, I'm caught off guard. And at first I was like, dude, like, support her. But then I thought again and I was like, we're watching from the outside. I'm sure there was much more to the conversation. We saw an edited version.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, I don't think that was like a trauma dump. I think she was genuinely sharing because she keeps calling herself a red flag, right? And I don't know why she keeps calling herself a red flag. And as someone who uses self-deprecating humor, I understand it's better to say something before someone else does. She's like, am I a red flag? I just want to tell you I'm a red flag. Anyway, also, I kind of felt when she was like, I mean, don't shut down, just get blah, blah. But also, when you tell someone who you love and you think loves you, I do think that Izzy has feelings for Johnny, you can't really put your expectations of their reaction onto the information that you just gave them. I was right with you at the beginning, and then he actually was very clear. He said, this has caught me off guard. That's a big story. I was married. I didn't marry the man I loved. The man I loved had substance use disorder. He died. It was a lot of information. So I felt like she was looking at him to be okay right then.
Yeah.
And say, it's okay. And I'm sure it was. But a little bit in my mind, I don't know if you agree, I really had the same thought. But I was like, why are you telling him how to process that information?
Yeah.
And in a timely manner that works for you. She was just looking for him to say, it's okay. We'll work through it. I love you. I think that like she was sort of demanding a response. And then he says this.
Do you feel like anyone could ever fill that role?
Fair question. Maybe ill-timed. Maybe that should have been for later. But I felt like that she got very defensive at this news that she just dropped on him. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think what creeped me out about his response was I don't know. For me, it seemed like I was just confused at how he responded. You are not entitled to a reaction ever. Like, that's called staying on your side of the street. You can say what you need to say, and the way the person responds is the way the person responds. I have been like accused of like shutting down, you know, in like difficult situations. I think that's my flight response. But for me, I need to walk away to process, or I'm not going to say what is real. And I think that the appropriate thing to have done on both ends of that conversation would have been to be like, you know what? I'm still with you. Can I have some time to process that?
I agree. I totally empathize with her and totally empathize with her opening up her life and her vulnerability. I was like, but you can't sort of demand a response from him. No. And then I felt like when he was pressured for a response, his question was like not really appropriate. But then was he giving her that question just to say something? I think you're spot on. I think the appropriate thing would be like, I need a minute. And I'm sure that wouldn't have made her feel good because she just wanted the validation that she's not broken and that she's okay and she's still a good person. And she says she's in love with him. Listen, Johnny has been really honest in saying she's been in a lot of really bad relationships. And I think choosing Izzy over Chris was another bad decision.
I agree.
They call it a night. It's a little contentious.
It is. She says this conversation's not going to be productive. Yes, I agree. It is not going to be productive.
I'm not convinced Izzy isn't trying to be a reformed fuckboy. I'm not convinced yet. I could be totally, totally wrong.
Okay.
But then they go back to the flat, or I guess I'm British now, and Johnny was like, he either chooses me or he doesn't. I was like, I mean, thank you for outlining the whole basis of the show.
But then she puts a stink on it. She says he's not going to be happy with Stacey. And it's like, girl, I agree. But like, don't do that. We've been doing okay so far. You don't have to do that.
Those two need therapy, not marriage. That goes for, when I say those two, I mean all of them.
All of them. 30 of them. You know, and then we are going to see our first couple meet each other in, you know, in that hallway, I call it, for the first time. Taylor and JP. And Taylor says, she said, I don't know what he looks like, but last night I had a dream of blonde hair and tan skin and white teeth. And I was like, you mean like a Ken doll? Is that what you had a dream of?
And she's like, and an American flag, snot rag.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I like that she's like, I don't know what color he is. And I'm like, girl, come on. Yes, you do.
And as soon as I watched it, I was like, they're going to hold this in suspense. I know they're going to.
That's going to be the cliffhanger. Yeah. But I will say that silhouette of her on the glass, she looked like Marilyn Monroe. She looked so gorgeous That was I almost gasped. That was an hourglass figure.
And of course they leave us there. They're prepping to open the doors. Are they going to kiss? Are they going to like each other? Who knows? Because that's the end of the episode. End of episode one.
We are left wondering if love is blind.
I love the onion of this show. Mm-hmm. I feel like with every episode, our first episode was like 50 minutes. I feel like our second episode is going to be like an hour 10. Mm-hmm. Our third episode is going to be like an hour 45. And pretty soon it's just going to be like War and Peace. And
Nicholas Nickleby.
You can stop now.
Right. We'll be like, so now we're going to take a 1 hour break and we'll be back for another 4 hour segment on episode 15. Yeah.
It's like, is this a podcast or is this Angels in America? It gets better and better. And by better, I mean messier.
Messy as fuck. It's going to be fun.
What are you thinking leaving episode two, going to episode three?
I'm hoping that Johnny and Izzy and Stacy all leave by themselves and get therapy, but I don't think that's what's going to happen.
That would be a really shitty TV show.
Well, that would be pretty boring. Yeah. And we all went to therapy. I am hoping that Izzy picks Johnny, mostly because I don't want to have to put up with Stacy for the rest of this series. You know, I think that Taylor and JP will probably be fine. They remind me of, like, they have cookouts in the backyard on 4th of July, and they have 14 kids, and I think it's going to be fine. I'm worried that Aaliyah is going to say yes to Uche. I think Uche's going to propose because he gets what he wants, you know?
It's a competition.
It is definitely a competition. I think Stacy also said,
he's like, is there $1 million at the end of this? Is this the game with $1 million at the end?
I think that, you know, Stacy said in the first episode, I never fail. So, I think a couple people are treating this like a competition. And we'll see. My feelings about Johnny are changing. But this is what you said last episode. Like, where you start is not going to be where you end.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Thank you for joining us on Shut Up, Nick Lachey. And he followed our directions.
He did.
Quite well, if I'm being honest. I didn't see him one time on this episode.
You're right. He was not there. He obviously listened to our episode one and he was like, I'm going to shut the fuck up.
He's like, I should shut the fuck up, actually. And also, I can't think of a 98 Degrees song.
Right. And then Vanessa was like, but, and he was like, no.
Thank you for joining us on Shut Up, Nick Lachey. I am Ellen Marsh.
I am, of course, Daisy Egan.
Please follow us on Grab Bag Collab, where you can obviously get all of the rest of the amazing content that they have. You can follow us individually. Where can they find you on socials, Daisy?
I am at Daisy Egan, E-A-G-A-N, and I'm also at Dear Daisy Pod for my other podcast on Grab Bag, and I'm also at Strange and Unexplained. Is it SNU Pod on socials? And that's where you can find me. How about you?
I am at Ellen Marsh on all platforms. That is Ellen with a Y, except for TikTok. I decided to randomly add my middle name. I regret that immediately. It's Ellen Marie Marsh. And you can listen to my other podcasts. You can find me wherever you get your podcasts with Joey Taranto at I Think Not Pod. You can follow us on socials and Rabia and Ellen for our true crime talk show, where we talk about the true crime with a guest every week. And soon, very soon, we will have Tony Award-winning Daisy Egan.
I love her.
Send us a message or a comment on Patreon if you have any insights or any hot takes on the episode, and we will read them next episode, because as we get further and further into this series, there's just going to be a whole lot more to unpack.
Tell all your friends to join us over on patreon.com/grabbagcollab, and we'll see you there.
See you later.